Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, July the 7th, Pope Francis tweets his thanks to everyone for messages of closeness and prayer as he continues to recover after surgery on Sunday. The president of Haiti is killed in an attack by unidentified gunmen. And the bishops of Southern Africa call for prayers and dialogue in Eswatini amid continuing unrest in the kingdom. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Pope Francis' post-surgery recovery continues to proceed well, and he's eating regularly. This news came in the latest medical update posted at 12 p.m. on Wednesday in a statement from the Holy See Press Office. Pope Francis later sent a tweet from his Pontifex account thanking everyone for their closeness and prayers. Thaddeus Jones tells us more.
The post-operative recovery of Pope Francis continues following last Sunday's planned intestinal surgery. The director of the Holy See Press Office, Matteo Bruni, gave the update in Wednesday's statement on the Pope's health. In the statement, Bruni notes that the post-operative progress of His Holiness Pope Francis continues to be regular and satisfactory. The Holy Father has continued to eat regularly, and infusion therapy has been suspended. The director of the press office continues, the final histological examination has confirmed a severe diverticular stenosis with signs of sclerosing diverticulitis. In conclusion, the statement notes that Pope Francis is touched by the many messages and the affection received in these days and expresses his gratitude for the closeness in prayer. In fact, just an hour and a half after the press office statement came out, Pope Francis sent a tweet through his Pontifex account thanking everyone for the closeness in prayer. In his first tweet since last Sunday following the Angelus, he thanked people around the world for their kind messages and care regarding his health as he continues his recovery at Rome's Gemelli Hospital following his surgery. The Pope writes in his tweet, "I am touched by the many caring messages received in these days. I thank everyone for their closeness and prayer." Among the many messages Pope Francis has received, and we shared some of them in yesterday's broadcast, stands out the testimony of His Holiness Katechin II, Supreme Patriarch and Catholicos of all Armenians, who yesterday addressed his beloved brother in Christ and assured the Pope that we pray to the Heavenly Lord to guard and protect you in His mercy, granting you longevity and many fruitful years in your pontificate. Several heads of state and government also wish to express their closeness, including the President of the Republic of China, Taiwan, Tsai Ing-wen, the President of the State of Palestine and the PLO Executive Committee, Mahmoud Abbas, asking for prayers to God for the Pope's good health. On Tuesday, the President of the Republic of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, expressed hopes for the Pope's speedy recovery, offering the Pope his best wishes for health and happiness. And finally, the leaders of Cyprus, Cuba, Poland, and among many others also sent get-well messages. Church leaders, of course, continue to write with their messages, including Latin America, including Ceylon, and New Zealand, among the many others. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
The president of Haiti, Jovenel Moïse, has been assassinated in an attack on his home. A statement from the country's interim prime minister, Claude Joseph, called the killing a hateful, inhumane and barbaric act. He said a group of unidentified individuals reportedly attacked Moïse's private residence overnight and shot him dead. The first lady was shot in the attack and was hospitalized. Her condition was not immediately clear. Joseph also said the country's security situation is under the control of the National Police and the Armed Forces of Haiti, and he pledged to uphold democracy and the Republic. Haiti, the poorest country in the Americas, was already in a precarious political situation before the assassination. It had grown increasingly unstable, and the people have increasingly been expressing dissent under Moïse, who ruled by decree for more than 2 years after the country failed to hold elections, and the opposition demanded his resignation in recent months. The country's Catholic bishops have repeatedly denounced the instability and lack of security in the Caribbean nation. Another fresh wave of detentions in an ongoing and continuing crackdown is happening in Nicaragua. James Blears reports more potential presidential candidates and civil leaders are now under lock and key.
Five more opposition leaders have been arrested by police in Nicaragua, including three farm worker leaders. They're accused of kidnapping, murder of police officers, armed robbery and extortion. Two student leaders have been hauled in. This latest batch joins more than 20 potential presidential candidates detained. Police claim that all the alleged crimes date back to the 2018 anti-government protests. All of this has been done in less than a month. President Daniel Ortega, who's a former Sandinista leader, insists they're all criminals plotting against him, and what he's doing is strictly in accordance with established law and order. Most of those detained are facing blanket treason charges. Ortega, who's now 75 years old, has dominated Nicaraguan politics for decades. He ruled from 1979 to 1990 and from 2007 until the present day. The United States, the European Union, and the Organization of American States are condemning his actions. Furthermore, Mexico and Argentina have withdrawn their ambassadors. More action is likely to follow. For Vatican Radio, Jane Spears reporting.
A prominent Dutch crime reporter is fighting for his life after he was shot on a central Amsterdam street on Tuesday. Dutch authorities said Pieter de Vries, famous in the Netherlands for exposing notorious criminals and speaking on behalf of crime. They said three people were arrested, including a Polish and a Dutch national. A third suspect has since been released. The Interregional Association of Bishops of Southern Africa, or IMBISA, is urging peace, dialogue and reconciliation in the wake of the eruption of violent protests in Eswatini in recent days. Father Benedict Mayaki has more.
Several bishops have expressed concern and are calling for calm in Eswatini, where pro-democracy protests have broken out in recent days, with dozens reportedly killed and massive damage done to property in conflicts between demonstrators and security forces. Unrest first began in the last absolute monarchy in Africa in May, when students took to the streets to call for accountability for the death of a 25-year-old student allegedly at the hands of police. The tragic incident sparked protests that have escalated into calls for an end to the rule of King Mswati III. In a statement on Monday, the Interregional Association of Bishops of Southern Africa, IMBISA, appealed for restraint and a spirit of meaningful dialogue among all sectors of the kingdom. The bishops also condemned the extrajudicial killings, indiscriminate arrests, abductions and torture that have been reported, and also the destruction of both public and private property. They noted that the destruction of property works against the common good required for the integral development of the country. Suggesting concrete steps towards peace, IMBISA reiterated Pope Francis's appeal during the Angelus prayer on Sunday, in which he called on the people of the Kingdom of Eswatini to work for peace, reconciliation and the common good. The bishops went on to call for the cessation of all forms of violence by both security forces and the mostly young demonstrators, and, amid reports of an internet shutdown in the country, urged the government to guarantee the provision of means of communication. They further called on the citizens not to give up hope in spite of the unfortunate events in recent times and to continue to pray for those who have died and the injured as a result of the violence. Separately, Bishop José Luis Ponce de León of Eswatini's Lone Diocese of Manzini has called on the faithful to pray for the gift of wisdom and courage to break the cycle of violence caused by the protest. In a statement, the bishop declared rosary prayer sessions in the diocese every day at 6 p.m. from the 5th to the 11th of July, during which the faithful will implore Our Lady's intercession for an end to the violence in the country. Bishop Ponce de León also invited priests to celebrate masses and pray for reconciliation in the country. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.
The Patriarch of Jerusalem, Archbishop Pier Battista Pizzaballa, has welcomed the first group of the pilgrims to the Holy Land in over a year and a half since COVID-19 restrictions were put in place. He renewed his invitation to return to the places of Jesus and recall the bond between Rome and the Holy City. Francesca Merlo reports.
Several bishops have expressed concern and are calling for calm in Eswatini.
The return of the pilgrims means for Jerusalem to breathe with two lungs again, said Archbishop Pizzaballa in an interview with Vatican Radio. After joyfully reopening the doors of the Patriarchate of Jerusalem to the faithful, priests and journalists who are in the Holy Land as the first group of the Opera Romana Pellegrinaggi, Archbishop Pizzaballa renewed his invitation to come to the Holy Land. The meaning of the pilgrimage to the Holy Land allows us to experience with our own eyes. It is always an extraordinary experience, which this first group is living in an even more special dimension of recollection. In the sacred places, in fact, there are not the usual queues to enter or the normal hubbub of tourists, says Archbishop Pizzaballa. It is a time of sorrow for the absence of pilgrims, but also an occasion for reflection. We do not need crowds, said the Patriarch, explaining that this time of emptiness, after having brought so many problems to everyone and especially to the many families who live from tourism in this land, can be an opportunity for rethinking. We can try to rethink the rhythm and mode of travel to ensure that they respond better to the needs of pilgrims, but also of those who make religious tourism and may be touched spiritually by the encounter with the places, with the facts of Jesus, and therefore with the person of Christ. After the Mass at Gethsemane and the visit to Bethlehem, the moment of prayer at the Holy Sepulchre arrived, with the ideal embrace between the friars of the custody and Cardinal Ferrocci, who is leading the group of pilgrims. They were greeted upon their arrival with a prayer sung by the friars minor of the custody. One particular one was that of Friar Sinisa, who recalled that the Basilica of the Holy Sepulchre has never been truly closed. He underlined this by explaining that he was surprised and hurt by the news given by the media of an alleged reopening with the end of the lockdown. There has never been a lockdown of the Holy Sepulchre, neither day or night, the friar explained, assuring that prayer has been constant for all Christians around the world, and at the same time that prayers have been being asked for the Holy Land. I am Francesca Merlo.
And finally, Asia's Catholic bishops have hailed Father Stan Swamy as the martyr of the marginalised. The Indian Jesuit priest who campaigned for the rights of indigenous died in detention on July the 5th in Mumbai. Robin Gomes has more.
The Catholic bishops of Asia have expressed their sorrow at the death of jailed Indian Jesuit priest Father Stan Swamy, hailing him as the latest saint of modern India's poor. His last month in custody on a hospital bed till the last moments is the most heart-wrenching tragedy of an innocent man persecuted for doing good, said Myanmar Cardinal Charles Bo of Yangon, president of the Federation of Asian Bishops' Conferences, FABC, in a statement. The ailing 84-year-old human rights activist was arrested on October the 8th from his center in Ranchi, the capital of Jharkhand state, on alleged terrorism charges linked to Maoist insurgents in a violent incident in Maharashtra state in 2018. The following day, he was lodged in Taloja jail near Mumbai. In the nearly 9 months of detention, his repeated pleas for bail were rejected. Charges against him have never been proven. In his tribute, Cardinal Bo compared Father Stan to the apostle of non-violence, Mahatma Gandhi, who was also arrested and incarcerated under sedition laws by British officials. With his great love for those in the margins, Father Stan is the greatest saint of modern India's poor, Cardinal Bo said. The Jesuit priest redefined his priesthood, extending his altar to the streets and hills of those obnoxious corners of injustice, breaking the bread of good news of human dignity and justice, especially among the indigenous people. In his death, the FABC president said, the Jesuit rights activist has shown a damning light on the injustice that is becoming a norm in the world. Cardinal Bo concluded his tribute, expressing the commitment of the Asian Church to Father Stan's dream of a new world of justice and peace. I'm Robin Gomes.
And that's all from us this evening. Thanks to Vincenzo Proto. I'm Linda Bodoni. Bye-bye.